The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, it's Thursday, April the 25th, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. This is your host, Ricky Scaparro, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And we want to welcome everybody to the broadcast today. You guys that are watching by Rumble, by YouTube, or whatever video platform in which you may be watching our broadcast, we want to welcome you. We want to officially welcome you, you guys on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcast. Listen, if you're new, first time joining us, and you're able to comment where we can see that, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. We'd love to hear from you. Real quick, as always, before we get started, guys, please do me a favor. Help us get the word out. Help us allow others to see our material, our messages. You can do that easy. It's real easy. All you got to do is hit the like button, hit that share button. And then if you want to keep up with our ministry on these platforms, hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button. And even better, get our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. You can pick it up today, depending on your device. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away and good to go, and you will not miss a single thing that we put out. All right, guys, for the last probably 3 weeks, I want to share a word with you that I've kind of let out of the bag a little bit here and there that has kind of slipped out in some podcasts that we've done recently. But I want to really delve into this today and give you a little bit more details on this. Let me give you a verse of scripture, and I'm going to go from that. I'm going to turn to, if you have your Bibles, if you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, please turn with me to the book of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 14. If you're watching the visual of this, I've got it pulled up here on the screen. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to share with you what why I feel an urgency in my spirit to relay this word to you and the importance of it in this hour. All right, John 16, 12 through 14. All right, in this passage, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And listen what he says here. This is very interesting. If you, again, most people, when they read scripture, guys, they just skim right over it and say, hey, I got my daily Bible reading in. But we're going to break this down and dissect this. And I'm going to show you some stuff very intriguing here. Look what he says here. This is, again, this is Jesus speaking. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, he was speaking in past tense in that day and hour right before he was going to be led to Golgotha, where in which he would lay his life down as a ransom for many. He would be crucified at Calvary. And he says, there are so many things I want to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Listen to me very carefully when I say that. You cannot bear them now. You won't be able to receive it. There's going to be things that I want to tell you that you, number one, you won't believe it if I were to tell you. Number two, you wouldn't receive it if I were to tell you. Let me say that again. You wouldn't believe it and you wouldn't receive it. But look what he says here. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, and he came, Acts chapter 2, in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, notice he says he, it is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He, the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all truth. Folks, listen to me. A lot of people are in deception because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, they may claim to be Christians. They may claim to be religious. They may go to church regularly. But if they don't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, they will be succumbed to deception, because the Bible says, not Brother Ricky, the Bible says when the Spirit of truth has come, he will always lead you into truth and not falsehood, not deception, not error. You can't go wrong by being led by the Holy Spirit. And I've said this, and I've said this many times, the Holy Spirit, he will not contradict the written word of God. He will only complement it. Let me say that again. Holy Spirit, when he speaks, will not contradict the written word. He will only complement it. He will affirm it. He will confirm what has already been written. Now watch this. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And now here's where I wanted to highlight this. And he will tell you things to come. Somebody say that. He will tell you things to come. Very important. This is a very important foundational scripture where I'm going to go with this. Again, I want to highlight something here. Jesus said, there's many things I want to tell you, but you are not able to bear them now. You won't receive them and you won't believe them, but there's coming a day. He didn't say when. He just said, when the Spirit of truth comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to reveal to you things to come. Now, why am I talking about this today? Because guys, listen, there's few times over the past couple of decades that I have been doing ministry. I've been doing this thing for 24 years. I know that's not a long time compared to other seasoned men and women of God, but nevertheless, one thing I can say is there is seasons in my life where I get these burdens in my heart. I feel these burdens from the Lord to really express certain things, discuss certain things, or warn about certain things. And right now I'm in this season where I have been feeling this urgency in my own heart to really tune in to the Holy Spirit, tune into the Word of God, tune into the presence of God, tune into the Holy Spirit. Because watch this, I believe in the times that we are in and how tumultuous it is, how dangerous it is, there is so much lawlessness and violence and deception that is ramped up. That I believe, listen, we're going to have an ear to the Holy Spirit and an ear to the Word of God, because there is things coming down the pipe that we have no idea yet. Now we could speculate, and listen, it don't take a prophet to read the headlines and warn about these things. They've warned us about cyber attacks. They've warned us about attacks on our infrastructure. The FBI, the head of the FBI has come out and he's warned that we are on a heightened state of alert for attacks even inside of our country from different factions and different groups. We have been warned by seismologists and scientists and quote unquote experts and all these individuals about coming catastrophic earthquakes that are only a matter of time. We've been warned about tsunamis. We've been warned about asteroid strikes. We've been warned about all these things from different sources, again, outside of the Word of God. Now, of course, we can go to the Word of God, Matthew 24, Luke 21. Jesus said there would be these things happen and these things transpire. So again, it doesn't take a quote-unquote prophet to get on here and tell you that it's not a matter of if, but when we see some of these things transpire. Now, this is a message today, guys, not just, I know about 90% of the time I get up and I talk about events and disasters and this and that, and it's pretty much centered around the focal point of the West. But today, this is a message for everyone. No matter what your ethnicity, what your age, what your color, what your demographics, this is for all those in the body of Christ. Come on, hit me up in the chat on YouTube if you're watching this. If you're outside of the United States, come on. Again, this is a word for everybody. Now, the reason why I said this is because I believe when I started getting this urgency in my spirit at first. This is how it started. I just felt this uneasiness, this burden. Like, Lord, what are you trying to say here? So I started digging into the scriptures and I found a pattern that I found interesting. And I've noticed that there were disasters coming, There were major events coming. There were wars, and the Bible calls it the sword that would go through the land, famines, pestilences, disasters, anything that would result in a large fatalities, upheaval, disruptions, you know, anything that would be super, it would be very significant is what I'm trying to say to you. It would capture and garnish the attention of the nations of the world. Anytime an event like that would happen, we would call this, and I would even venture to go far as say, even selective judgments of God. Now, I don't want to just hang my hat on selective judgments of God only, but I'm going to use this as an example when we go through this here in a minute. But this could be for natural occurrences, because not every disaster, every event, every terrorist attack, everything is a judgment of God. I don't want to hang my hat on saying everything is like that. I try to bring balance. There is some things that happen because it's the fall of Adam. There was things that took place in nature. There's things that took place in the animal kingdom. There's things that took place in humanity. And it was simply because of sin that entered into our world. Okay. Now, having said that, the Bible does say this, and I want to pull this scripture up. Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets." Let me say that one more time. Surely the Lord God does nothing. I said he does nothing. Good, bad, something that's significant, unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, listen, I am not going to argue, and I don't do this anymore. I don't debate people. There is going to be people on here that'll listen, that'll watch, and they come from the camp of the belief of sensationalism, which teaches and believes and holds to a teaching and a belief that there is no more prophets in the earth today, that there is none, that God no longer speaks to people. He doesn't give dreams. He doesn't give visions. He doesn't give warnings. He doesn't speak directly from the Holy Spirit. And listen, I'm not going to debate that with you. We could pull up multiple scriptures to absolutely, in my opinion, destroy that theology. One is Joel chapter 2. You've heard me quote that. Even the word of the Lord said through the prophet Joel that in the last days, God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, sons, daughters, men, women, and he will bring dreams and visions. Now, having said that, I firmly believe that God still has people that are called into the office of a prophet. Now, there's a lot of, now, just as there's authentic prophets, there's false prophets, and I would venture to say there's a whole lot more false prophets than there is authentic prophets. And I want to say this, most authentic prophets that I know personally, you don't see them out on social media platforms. You don't see them in the limelight. You don't see them on Instagram and on YouTube and on Twitter and on TikTok. You don't see all this. They're not calling themselves, "I'm prophet so-and-so" or "apostle so-and-so." You just don't see that. But listen, I can take you all the way back to the beginning. And there has always been men of God who has an ear to the Lord, an ear to the Spirit of God that is open to receive instructions, watch this, on how to properly prepare for events that would come in the future. Are you hearing me? For example, before the flood of Noah, God spoke to Noah. He revealed to him specific instructions on how to prepare properly and was even given a timeline of when the events would transpire. One example is this. There was a man by the name of Methuselah, and those of that day understood the names. Guys, most of us don't understand this. Our names mean things. The Hebrew people did not name, when they were given names to their children, they just didn't name them Billy Bob and Joe and Thomas, you know, Thomas the Third, because Thomas has been a name that's been carried in the family for three generations and we want to continue this. No, they named their children names in Hebrew that meant things. They had meanings behind them. And the word Methuselah, the name Methuselah, meant his death shall initiate it. So everyone in that day of Noah's day knew that when Methuselah died, that would be a sign to that generation that God was about to bring judgment upon the world. Now watch this. They didn't have just one warning through a man named Methuselah. According to Josephus, writes this down. Josephus was an historian. The book of Jasher talks about this, which is, again, another historic Jewish book, that the Jews understood. It's quoted twice in your Bible in the Old Testament. According to history, Adam was given revelation of the Lord that God would destroy the earth of two judgments, one of water and one of a fire. And he put it he inscribed these warnings on both brick and in stone. So again, one would survive the flood and one would survive the fire. Now, guys, even in Josephus' writings, he said that even to this day, now that was in his day, that these remained in a place called Syriot, which is in the Middle East. Now, I don't know if they're still there today, but I'm only giving you some history here. So don't miss the point. Noah's generation was given two confirming words. One was a warning through Noah, and the other was warnings that was passed down to them. So again, all of this, so Noah was instructed on what to do. Watch out to go through and to be preserved by what's coming down the pike. Then we go to Genesis 19. Before judgment ever fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his family was given instructions by angels of God on how to prepare, and even given a timeline of when the event would take place. Genesis 19:12. Then the men, these are angels, said to Lot, "Have you have anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this city or out of this place. Look at this, for we will destroy this place. Warning, because the outcry against him has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Look at this, guys. Lot and his family, who was, again, the Bible identifies Lot as a righteous man who was vexed daily by the filthiness of the conversation of the wicked and by the things in which he saw and heard. But the Bible calls Lot a righteous man. He was a righteous man in a wicked city. Oh, come on. Do I have any righteous men and women of God who live in wicked locations? I'm telling you, all hell may be breaking loose around you and all around your city and in your location, but God sees you. He hears you. He sees your prayers. He sees your intercession. He sees the covenant that you have with him. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. And he will mark you. And if you have an ear to the Spirit of God, he will warn you and show you things to come and properly prepare you. And this is what he did with Lot. This is what he did with his family. But Brother Ricky, the Bible says that no man knows the day or the hour of the return of the Lord. We're not talking about the return of the Lord here today, guys. I'm not talking about the eastern sky splitting. I'm not talking about the rapture. So don't get all bent out of shape today. I'm not saying that we as the body of Christ are going to know the day nor the hour of the Lord's return. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, come on, a praying and interceding people. Come on, we'll have an ear to heaven, an ear to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will show you things to come. He knows how to warn us. He knows how to prepare us, and he knows how to preserve us. Come on, I'm going off of my podcast a little bit, going into what I talked about earlier this week, because this has been so in my heart lately. So listen, I don't know. I cannot sit here and tell you in absolute details of what events, disasters, and judgments are around the corner. But you know who does know these things? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit knows what cities will be impacted. He knows what locations. He knows every minute detail. Why? Because, come on, he knows things to come. Look, some of y'all's your eyes are just glazing over because some of y'all just can't catch what Brother Ricky's talking about. Listen, I can take you back to the Old Testament in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. And this, and I'm not going to pull all this up, but I'm just going to kind of paraphrase and go through some excerpts with this. The king of Syria was threatening to make war against Israel. And the Bible says that he consulted with his servants, saying that my camp will be in such and such place. So he's having he's in the war room. The king of Syria is in the war room, consulting with his commanders and those in charge and authority, and saying, we are going to do this and we're going to do that, and we're going to position ourselves to take Israel. And the Bible says that there was, oh, this gets me excited. I don't know. It may not do nothing for you, but there was a man of God by the name of Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha with an S. The Bible says that he was I can prove to you that he was a man of prayer. He was a man of intercession, and he was in his secret place. He had a lifestyle of being in a secret place and being in tune with God. And the Bible says he was a prophet in Israel and in verse 12, let me pull this up. Look what it says here. This is in 2 Kings chapter 6. Look what it says here. And verse 12, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Whoa. Could you imagine having a prayer life where you're so in tune to the Spirit of God that you're hearing secrets from heaven? You're tuning in to the plans, the plots, and the assignments of hell against you, against your family, against your ministry, against your nation, against your city. Come on, against the plan of God that God has for your life, against your children. I don't know about you, but come on. I want to have such a prayer life and such an intercessory prayer life. And I'm telling you all, I'm going to get into this right now. Every devil in hell, listen, if you desire this and you want this, I'm going to tell you something, and you better listen to this preacher, and I'm going to tell you the truth. The devil's not threatened by your pulpit, your platform, or your ministry. You know what he's threatened by? He's threatened by your prayer life. Because listen, I'm going to tell you something. When you get up behind a pulpit, behind a microphone, behind a platform, or on television, or whatever the case may be, what comes out of you and what flows out of you and what revelation comes out of you is a direct reflection of what you have put in you in the secret place. Oh, let me say it like this. What is in the secret place is going to flow out in the public place. So listen, I'm telling you, there is warfare about the prayer closet. And if there's anything that we have gotten away from, guys, that the old timers possessed, is this ability to seek God, pray, intercede, come on, and get alone with God until things begin to take place. God would begin to give them downloads. God would begin to reveal secrets. God would begin to give them words from heaven. He would warn them about people, about places, about things, about assignments, about agreements, negotiations, contracts. He can warn you. He, the Spirit of Truth, will show you things to come. Listen, I can't tell you how many times that I have been in prayer and been in intercession, and God would speak to me either through a word in my heart, through the word of God, or through a dream, and warn me about people, about certain events. You guys have heard me talk about this. My firstborn son was given to me through a rhema word of God, and then was confirmed in a dream and where which I saw him. There was people that I was connected with 24 years ago that I would, if you would have asked me 24 years ago, if I would have ever believed that I would not be standing with them today, I would have thought you were crazy. I would have said, no, me and so is going to be there to the end. But you know what? God was warning me about this individual and telling me to depart from them and separate from them. But my flesh and my carnal man did not want to hear that and did not want to receive that. But God kept warning me. He would warn me through the word of God. He would warn me through the Holy Spirit. He would show me in a dream. And I just kept suppressing it and kept suppressing. Oh, don't give Brother Ricky a funny look, because don't act like you ain't never done it. Don't act like the Holy Spirit ain't spoke to you and told you not to do this and do that and say that and keep your mouth shut when you should not be talking. But yet, come on, your pride took over and you said, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to say this, do that, do this. I'm going to not do this. And because you did that, later on down the road, you paid the consequences to it. And guys, I've seen it over and over and over again. I remember we were attending a church many, many years ago, and the Lord, I had a dream, and three men that were very significant in that church. These were three men of positions in this church that we were part of. Three men. And in a dream, these three men came to me in a dream, and they pinned me down, and they were trying to force feed me food in the dream. And I kept trying to reject it. They kept trying to pin me down, pin my arms down, and force feed me food. And I was choking on it. I woke up. I said, Lord, what in the world is this? And the Lord spoke to me in my heart. He didn't speak to me audibly. People freak out when you start talking about that, because they've listened to a bunch of cessationists that has convinced them that God doesn't speak like that today. But I've come by today to tell you that God does speak. The problem is anybody can speak to God, but very few people can hear from God. And because of all this mess. But when I prayed about it, the Lord revealed to me these three men are a threefold cord, and they are preaching and teaching false doctrine, and they are going to try to indoctrinate you. You need to be aware of this. Now, I was like, whoa, because then it makes sense. They're feeding me. They weren't feeding me actual food. They were trying to force feed me false doctrine. Are you here? Remember, Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, watch this, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they were all confused. And they said, wait a minute, is he talking about a loaf of bread? Are they giving out bread? No. He was not talking about bread in itself in the natural. He was talking about the leaven of the Pharisees as in their doctrine. So you know what happened? A few weeks went by. And all of a sudden, these men, one after another, would try to pull me aside and privately and say, we love the church here and we love the pastor, but you need to come to our house. You need to come over to our house privately. You need to come to our Bible study. You need to come to our meeting. And I even asked them, I said, well, why do I need to do that? What's wrong with what pastor? Well, he's a great preacher and he's a great pastor, but he's not giving you the whole truth. Now, guys, that was a huge red flag, because remember the dream I had? So as I began to, and I said, well, enlighten me. And so all three of these men, and guys, I could name these guys. I mean, this was like 20 years ago, and I could name all three of these individuals, but I won't. And it's not even significant anyway. I don't even know if they're still alive at this point, but all three of them came to me individually, and they began to teach a doctrine. At that point, that's when I was introduced to for the first time, a doctrine called preterism. Now, this is a very popular doctrine. Now, it's been around, it's nothing new. It's been around for even since it was around the early church fathers, but it always resurfaces. Remember, Solomon said, there's no new thing under the sun. That which was is that which shall be. False prophets were then and they're now. And all the doctrine is the same. It's just repackaged, right? So what preterism is, and I'm going to give you a really short understanding of this, is a doctrine that teaches and holds to a belief that all of the events of Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 were all fulfilled in 70 AD. Okay, number one. Number two, they believe the book of Revelation is not literal events. They believe it's allegorical. And so I knew right then, so I had to dig and research when I started researching this. That's when I was plunged headlong into the doctrine of preterism. So I knew that that's why God was warning me about these men. Now watch, this is what happened. Ready? Oh, I'm right on my message today. God is always going to warn us if we're listening and prepare us accordingly. So I went to our pastor alone in private and I said, listen, you need to know that these three men are privately pulling members of their churches. Oh, I just got to check in my spirit right there. Listen, I already know. If you have a ministry that you have, I don't know. I never know who I'm ministering to. So you might be a minister. You might be a preacher. You might be a pastor, whatever. And you, listen, if you have social media platforms, group pages, we have a Telegram channel that's getting larger and larger. You just know that you are going to have individuals that are tares and goats in your ministry and on those platforms. Listen to me. There's going to be tares and goats that the enemy has hand plucked to put them in those groups. They don't really provide anything encouraging or equipping. They're always divisive. And watch this. They'll even private message other members of the group and try to pull them away from the flock, away from the group, so that they, watch this, so then they can begin to feed them their doctrines or their beliefs. Oh, come on, that might be a word for somebody right there. I'm just trying to help you out right now. Listen, you better watch out because Jezebel is on the prowl. And you get a bunch of Jezebels in your ministry, in your church, in your group, they will completely destroy your ministry real quick. I'm talking about these people will present themselves holy and sanctified, but come on, they got tongues that'll wrap around your house five times and back again. They're gossips. They're busybodies, just like the Bible warned about. They will praise you on one side of their tongue, and then they'll cut you down and rip you apart in private on the other side of the tongue. But now let me go back to this. But I went to the pastor and I said, listen, these three men are dangerous to the church. They're going to destroy the church. So we went out separately. My pastor and I had lunch about this and we talked, and he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have dinner. He said, I'm going to invite you. You and I are going to go to dinner and we're going to go with these three men and we're just going to see what they're going to talk about. So long story short, we had a dinner with them. Then they began to spew their false doctrine at the dinner table. My pastor rebuked them, corrected them, and said, we don't want that in our church. These three men began to swear and curse and attack our pastor verbally. What am I talking about? I'm talking about God will warn you. The Bible says Elisha was a man of God who was praying in a secret place, and God was giving him the very assignments of the enemy that was being said in the bedroom of the king. Now, listen, I believe in this so much, guys, and I feel such a burden about this. Here in Georgia, my family and I bought a house that has an unfinished basement. Well, partially finished. I'll say partially finished. We have other rooms in our basement that we knew one day we would want to finish, you know, those rooms, and we didn't know what we were going to do as we expand our family and whatnot. The Lord has put a burden on my heart. We are in the process right now in our home of finishing. We're finishing a room. It's not a huge room. It's probably like a 10 by 10 room, 10 by 12, something like that. But it's not going to be a media room. It's not going to be a spare bedroom. I am making this a sanctuary to the Lord. It's going to have seating. It's going to have a speakers. It's going to have a television in there. So why? For the purpose of worship, praise. It's going to be a place specifically dedicated to go in, have your Bible, have your prayer list. It's going to be soundproof. And the reason why I did this, I told my wife, I said, whether it's 6 a.m. in the morning or 2 a.m. in the morning, I want to have this thing soundproof that any one of our family, myself, my wife, my sons, all of us, guests, whatever, we can go into this room and we can seek the face of God. Because friends, I'm telling you, we're living in times where we have got to get serious and intercession. And I'm telling you, the devil is fighting his tooth and nail. Oh, I'm telling you, in Joshua chapter 6, Joshua had said the two men who came to spy out the land. Remember, we talked about in Joshua 6, you had the two spies that came to spy out the land. They came across a woman by the name of Rahab. We know her as Rahab the harlot. And these men were in danger, and Rahab was preserved and protected by Joshua and his men. And they told her, we will make a covenant with you. If you honor the Lord and you honor the Lord's men of God, then God will preserve and protect you when the day comes that Jericho will fall. And you know what's interesting? In Joshua chapter 6, it said, but Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and from there bring out the woman and all that she has as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God will honor those who fear the Lord and who seek Him. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost all over this. He said, go into your secret place and pray unto your Father who sees in secret and will reward you openly. Now, these prosperity preachers will constantly want to equate that with financial blessing, but I'm going to tell you something. You can go in your secret place and pray in secret and your Father rewards you openly. One of the ways He can reward you openly is, how in the world did you survive? Everybody around you, this all the calamity collapsed and fell around you, but you're still standing. And you could say, if it had not been for the Lord. Come on, I was in prayer and the Lord showed me. Oh, can I give you another story? Listen, there's a story, one of the greatest stories I think I've ever heard. There was a man by the name of Alexander Kerr. He was the inventor of the Kerr jars, K-E-R-R. Anybody ever heard of the Kerr jars? The glass masonry jar? Come on. Our parents, some of them, if they jarred vegetables and stuff like this, you probably are familiar with this. Have you ever heard this story? There was his jar factory was based out of San Francisco, and he was a sold out believer in Jesus Christ. He 100% believed in tithing. And listen to this. At the same time, the San Francisco earthquake. You remember this? Some of y'all know this. 1906, San Francisco was hit by one of the largest earthquakes ever recorded. When this took place, Mr. Alexander Kerr immediately boarded a train for San Francisco. The factory was a two-story wooden building containing huge tanks where the glass was melted. These tanks were kept at extremely high temperatures. Oil was used for fuel, and therefore this building was the most inflammable in San Francisco. Think about this. The fire had raged on all sides of this glass factory, creeping up on the wooden fence surrounding the building and even scorching it. And then the flames and fire leaped around and over and beyond the building, burning everything in its path. However, not even the wooden fence was burned, nor the building, and not a single glass jar was cracked by the earthquake or by fire. Now, what you didn't know, now you could praise God for this, but here's what's interesting. Kerr was in a business meeting when he received the news of the earthquake, and all of his businessmen that he was with told him, Kerr, you're finished. Your business is over because this earthquake, there's no way your business can be sustained through this because of his, again, it was a two-story wooden building. There was propane tanks. There was all this stuff was going on. It was a combustible nightmare to have for such a scenario. But Kerr pointed his finger at these businessmen and said, gentlemen, he said, I have a covenant with God, and God said he would rebuke the devourer for my name's sake if I honored him with the tithe and the offering. Therefore, if I'm finished this day, he said, then God is not true to his word. Now that's boldness, friend. He made that statement, went back to his business, and just as I told you, it was completely intact and sustained. Not even the fence itself was burned. Oh, come on, somebody. What am I talking about? I'm talking about 1,000 may fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he says he'll give his angels charge over you and to keep you in all your ways, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Oh, I'm going to read on. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. Those are depictions of Satan. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample under your feet. Verse 14 of Psalms 91, because he has set his love upon me. This is the Lord speaking. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him upon high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I'll satisfy him and show him the joy of my salvation. Listen, guys, I'm going to tell you, there is things coming down the pike. There's calamities. There's disasters. There's judgments. There's scenarios coming that you and I as believers, come on, mama, come on, daddy. We have an obligation. We have got to get in our prayer closets. Turn off the stupid phone. Turn off the TV. Turn off social media. Get on your face before God. Man, I feel the presence of God just talking about this. This is, somebody's receiving this today. Somebody is, tears are starting to fill up in your eyes because Brother Ricky is confirming what the Holy Spirit has been dealing with you lately. I'm confirming to you what the Word of God has spoken to you lately, what the Lord has been dealing with you, and you've been struggling with it. And you're saying, I need to get more prayer. I need to get more intercession. And maybe God has spoke to you about in a place in your house. Listen, you may not have, listen, I know I'm blessed and I'm thankful to have a place that I can build for this. But and you say, well, I don't have that. But listen, you can make a prayer closet your prayer closet. Come on, literally a prayer closet. You can make your living room that place. You can make your backyard. You can make wherever. Listen, God does not dwell in places made with hands. The Bible says, where two or more gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. Don't get hung up on it's got to be this or that. Wherever you seek him, the Bible says he shall be found. The one thing I'm going to close with this, guys. I've gone in at least probably almost an hour. This is, again, this has really been messing with me. Look, if you go to 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to pull this up. Very familiar passage. You've heard, you probably heard me talk about this at least 25 times in the past 6 months. Paul is telling the church of Thessalonica, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Notice he says times and seasons. Listen, we don't know the day nor the hour, because no man knows, not Christ, not the angels, but the Father only. But Paul, notice he didn't skirt around times and seasons, because I believe as believers, we are to know times and seasons. Oh, come on, get that right there. He says, concerning times and seasons, brethren, he's speaking to us, the church, you don't need that I write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. Notice here, he says you're going to hear cries of peace and safety. Then you're going to see sudden. Somebody say sudden. Sudden destruction is going to come, and it's going to be like labor pains. And it's going to start out small, and it's going to increase, and it's going to intensify. And it's only going to get worse. And they shall not escape. He didn't say we shall not escape. Come on. You say, Brother Ricky, you're getting excited. I am. Because I'm getting a revelation of the Lord here. He said, when you start hearing this and seeing this, it says, watch this, they shall not escape. He didn't say we. He's talking to the church here. He said, they shall not escape. But look, watch this, verse 4. Look what it says here. But you, brethren, you church, you Christians, you believers, you true sold out, come on, believers, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Look at this in John 3. Jesus says the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Friend, this is why the coming of the Lord is going to be as a snare upon the whole earth. Because the majority of the earth is not going to be, come on, in tune with God. They're not going to know the times and seasons. And even self-proclaimed Bible-believing Christians. Now, they'll say they believe in the Bible. They'll say they're Christians. They'll say they go to church. But their pastors and their pulpits are silent concerning the times and the seasons in which we're in. And therefore, they're not properly preparing their flock. Oh, and listen, you guys know me well enough to know that Brother Ricky has always been a pre-tribulation preacher, a believer. But I'm going to tell you something. I have been greatly disturbed by the attitudes and the thinking process of a lot of rapture believing people. And that is, listen, in the Western society, we have grasped this concept and this belief because we've been taught this stuff behind pulpits for years and years and years. And it's not outside. When you go outside of the West, you don't hear this stuff, especially America. You don't hear that. But here in America, and I call it this pillow fluff talk that you get from pulpits and pastors, even on very popular online preacher stuff, has convinced you and I. Has tried to convince you and I that we as Americans, because somehow we are impervious to any kind of tribulation, any kind of trial, any kind of disasters or anything. And they have tried, I've heard them, you hear this over and over again, that they keep telling us, don't worry about the disasters, don't worry about trouble, don't worry about persecution, don't worry about the trials, don't worry about the wars and the famines and the earthquakes and the pests, don't worry about any of this stuff, because we will not see this and we'll be out of here. Guys, that is dangerous. Well, Brother Ricky, I thought you believed in the rapture. I do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. I can't deny that there's not a... Listen, for those who say there's no rapture, you are literally, what the heck is Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17? That's not the argument. I'm not even going to entertain that nonsense and say there's no such thing. But But to have this mindset, friends, that we, the church, is not going to experience anything. I heard one individual say, I'm not worried about the third temple because the church won't be here to see that built. Well, I can't find that in scripture. Now, if you want to quote 2 Thessalonians, if that's where you're getting that, my Bible says that the restrainer, if we want to equate that with the church, is restraining the Antichrist from being revealed. Then the restrainer is removed. Then the Antichrist is revealed. Well, hello, it never said anything about the temple being revealed, because before you have the Antichrist being revealed in the temple, hello, you have to have a temple built to begin with. So listen, these teachers and these preachers out here saying that the church is not going to be here for the construction of the temple, I can't find that in scripture, and I'm not going to hang my hat on that, and you're not going to hear me preach on that. Listen, yes, I believe in the rapture, but as I am going to warn you and tell you, don't get so arrogant, naive, and deceived to think that you're not going to go through anything bad and we're not going to see anything. You are foolish to believe that. You need to prepare, guys. You need to prepare as if, my friend, we're going to go through some stuff. The Bible says a prudent man sees the evil day approaching and hides himself. A prudent man sees destruction coming and prepares accordingly. We've got to be, oh, come on. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying today? Luke 21, 35 through 37. The day of the Lord shall come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Now listen, all the pre-tribbers have always taught that this escape is the escaping the tribulation, which we could say that, yes, if we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. But if you go into Luke 21, Matthew 24, when he says escape all these things, watch this. I'm going to show you a different angle to this. Wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, deception, all of this. So listen, while we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. Some of y'all, I done lost some of y'all right there, because I done got all up in your pre-trib beliefs that just because you're American that you're not going to see anything bad. You're mad. I'm not following Brother Ricky anymore. I'm going to go over here and find that other preacher that will tell me that that it's never going to come to my, I'm never going to see any bad stuff. Now, listen to me, friends. If you have that mindset, you're not listening and you're not receiving what I'm telling you today. Here's the bottom line. Bad things are coming. I'm not going to be a false prophet to say peace and safety when there is no peace and there is no safety. That's what was going on in Jeremiah's day. That's what was going on in Isaiah's day. That was going on in Amos's day. I'm not going to preach that. Because again, when they start saying peace and safety, you better watch out, because destruction's coming. So I'm going to tell you the truth today. You can get mad at Brother Ricky, but listen, I'm going to give you the truth because I love you and I want you prepared. And that is this. We are going into, we're about to head into some very uncharted territory. All the writings on the wall, I don't know what that means, what that entails. We can only speculate according to the Word of God, but we know this, that perilous days are here. Perilous times are here. But here's the takeaway of Brother Ricky's message. I believe if the rapture does not happen before it gets real bad, watch this. I believe the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will warn us, and he will show us how to prepare accordingly. So I'm just throwing a hypothesis out. If there's a major drought, God's going to show it to us ahead of time so that we can prepare. Remember Joseph? Remember before the famine came, the man of God heard from the Lord and he told Pharaoh, go and prepare accordingly. Listen, I'm completely against this nonsense. I see people say this all the time. Well, Brother Ricky, I'm not going to worry about it because I'm out of here. The rapture is going to happen and God's going to provide. Listen, yes, God will provide. But listen, if Joseph had that attitude, when the Lord spoke to him to tell Pharaoh to prepare for 7 years of, while you're in plenty, to prepare for 7 years of famine. If Joseph would have had that attitude and that mentality, he would have just said, well, that's not the Lord. And he would have never been obedient, and all of Egypt would have perished along with Joseph and his family. So listen to me, and listen to me well. Whatever it looks like for you, you may have to rearrange some stuff, move some stuff, prepare some stuff, build some stuff, make a place where you personally and your family as a whole can get in the secret place with the Lord. Because guys, we need to be in tune, because I believe with all my heart, based on the word of God, based on my own walk with God, that God will always prepare his body accordingly before, listen to me, before the events take place, so that we can be properly prepared, so he can help us to make it through. Come on to the other side. You receive this today? Come on, you receive this word today? I know it's a little bit different, but listen, I pray that you will receive this word, whatever that looks like for you. Maybe this is a call for you to come on, ramp up your prayer life, ramp up your devotion, get into the word more, get into intercessory prayer. Listen, God may be calling you to pull that plug on that cable television, pull that plug on Netflix, pull that plug on TikTok, pull that plug on Facebook, pull that plug, whatever's distracting you to keep you away from the word of God and the voice of God and the presence of God, friends, I'm telling you, we better be alert, be watchful and in prayer, because we are living in perilous times. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, if you've not downloaded a free app, I want to encourage you today to pick it up at your Play Store, Apple, Android. It's free. Download today. Hit yes to push notifications. Listen, we're going to pray real quick before we do that. If the ministry's blessed you, encouraged you, equipped you, all the above, we want to give you the opportunity, to support this ministry. Partner with us two different ways: electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can give by check or by money order right there on your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. Let's pray. Father, I've delivered this word as you have placed and prompted on my heart. I pray all of us, God, Lord, I include myself. I pray that we would all begin to make room for you and more room for you. We would put out those things that are distracting. We would arrange things and move things, make a time, make a place so that we can seek your face, get into your presence and hear from heaven. Lord, I am reminded all through the word of God, the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, Lord, I remember in your word in the book of Acts in chapter 11, there was a prophet by the name of Agabus, and he, through a prophetic act, he warned that there would be famine that would come. The man of God warned the apostle Paul that there would be persecution. This was a prophet of God. This was a man of God, but he was in tune with the Holy Spirit, and God warned. And Lord, I believe you're speaking to men and women in this hour. We don't have to be a prophet. We just have to be a praying church. And God reveals secrets. He reveals these things to those in covenant with him and those who spend time with him. And I pray for the sake of our families, to preserve our children, our families, our bloodline. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would charge every father, every mother, every grandmother, every grandfather, every head of a household that's listening, single, married, whatever the case may be. I pray that we would all, Lord, take up the charge, get into that secret place so that, Lord, you can warn us, that you can preserve us, and that we can act accordingly to preserve, to keep our families and prepare us for what the days ahead have in store for us. And we thank you and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Come on. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Folks, listen to me. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for all. We thank all of our partners, supporters of our ministry. Thank you, all the administrators that are a part of our podcast on YouTube, you guys on Telegram. I don't say it enough, but I thank all of our administrators. You know who you are. We appreciate you. And again, we're going to sign off for tonight. We plan on being back here tomorrow night, April 26th, Friday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another great segment and to close out this week of podcasting. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.